Drake, site editor for SearchVMware.com. Welcome to the Hypervisor Huddle. Joining me is news writer Bridget Vitello from TechTarget. Hi, Bridget.
Hello.
And we also have chief analyst and president of Focused, Barb Goldworm, joining us today. Hi, Barb. How are you?
Hi, Anna. Good. How are you?
I'm good. And today we're going to be discussing a new report published by Focused. Barb, can you tell us a little bit about the report?
Sure. This is a report on a survey that we've just recently conducted looking at the management issues involved in managing the virtual infrastructure. We looked at a pretty advanced audience of server virtualization users and looked at things like adoption rates and pain points and benefits achieved and what the barriers are to expanding to more virtual server environment and what kind of issues people have, what their priorities are around management, and had some very interesting findings.
So, Barb, overall, were there any findings that were really surprising to the firm?
Yeah, there were. There were a few, actually. One of the top interesting ones we thought was that for the first time since we've been watching the virtualization space, disaster recovery has actually surpassed consolidation as the number one driver for virtualization. So we found that kind of interesting at first blush. And then we found some reasons that made a lot of sense once we looked down kind of at the next level of detail.
So what were some of the reasons that server consolidation is no longer the top reason to go virtual?
Well, it's interesting. When you dissect the data and look at it by size of organization, what it shows is that for the very large organizations, consolidation still is the number one reason, and that makes a lot of sense. Folks who have a large number of servers are clearly going to get huge ROI TCO benefits from consolidating, so for them, consolidation is still the one top reason that's driving them forward. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, when you look at the data for smaller shops and kind of medium-sized shops, in those cases, they may not have enough servers for consolidation to really be a driver. But in all cases, disaster recovery is and is becoming even more so a pretty top issue for folks. And in those smaller environments, what we find is that a lot of folks have never had the ability to do a really good disaster recovery plan because they couldn't afford to mirror all of the hardware in their primary site for a secondary site. And so what virtualization does is it dramatically lowers the price of entry to do disaster recovery because now I can create my DR site using virtualization, and instead of having to create a whole secondary site with all the same hardware, now I do it with virtual servers. And it brings down the price so much that people can now have DR plans that have never had them before.
Right. That makes sense. And so another area in the report, you're looking at, in general, people who are doing virtualization. There's a survey of 262 respondents in all different sizes and types of companies, and it looks like nearly 80% are actually running server virtualization in production, which doesn't surprise me so much. But I was interested in that 4% who have no plans at all to go virtual. Did you find anything uniform in the reasons that they have no interest?
You know, it's interesting. We really didn't. It was a pretty small number, and that's pretty consistent with what we see. You know, we're out talking to thousands of users all the time, and pretty consistently, most of the population has now at least started looking at, if not implementing, virtualization. And actually, when you look at the numbers, I think it's 80-something, about 80% have adopted, and like 95%, if you include planning stages, are planning to implement. So that last 5% is a pretty small chunk, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of consistency in the reasons. Some people are saying they didn't have time. Some people say they need more information. There's a few, it costs too much. Some folks are saying they don't have the expertise. A small number say they don't have enough servers to cost justify, which sort of ties back to what we were just talking about. Those smaller shops don't have enough servers to cost justify it, and my guess is they haven't really understood the benefits of disaster recovery yet. That's still in the newer stages. And then, you know, there's always a few that are just risk-averse that aren't going to jump on any technology until absolutely everybody else in the world has done it. Well, we're getting pretty close to everybody else in the world having done it, you know, once we get to that last 5%.
So out of that 80% that's using virtualization, what would you say the split is, at least with your survey findings, between VMware and Hyper-V and Zen Server?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and you asked the question, what surprised us? And that's another one of those areas that was a bit of a surprise to us. We've been watching for a while and knowing that the world is becoming more multi-hypervisor. Clearly, VMware has dominated this space going back since they came out with x86 virtualization, 11 years ago. But what we're seeing now is that we're seeing a dent being made. So most of this audience was VMware. I think about 70% or so have ESX or ESXi, which is the high-end VMware product, obviously, have that in production or in evaluation. And that didn't surprise us because that really is the bulk of the world that we're seeing out there. But what surprised us is that out of that 72%, what we're seeing now is that 27% are either using in production or evaluating Citrix Zen Server, 29% using or evaluating Hyper-V, and roughly that same number, between 25 and 30%, are running open source Zen, one of the flavors of an open source Zen hypervisor. So we've got a third of that VMware population now, each running VMware and either Hyper-V or Citrix Zen Server or one of the other open source Zen. So it's actually taken off more quickly than we thought in this past year. What we're seeing now with Hyper-V Release 2 is some of the barriers that were stopping people from really moving forward have now been eliminated with R2. So people are now more ready to make the jump into going with Hyper-V. But clearly, most of that audience that's been running VMware only in the past, they're now starting to look at other things. And in fact, we also see that reflected in another number, which is how many platforms, how many hypervisor platforms most folks are running. And what we're seeing is, while it used to be running one and only one and it was all VMware, now we're seeing increasing numbers running two or three or even four different hypervisors, some in production, some, additional number in evaluation. So clearly the world is becoming more of a multi-hypervisor environment, and that's continuing the trend. And we think that will continue, which if you look at what we saw at VMworld last week, we're starting now to see that whole ecosystem start to look at management from a multi-hypervisor perspective. So again, a year ago, 2 years ago, all the management product and the management ecosystem were solely focused on managing VMware. Now what we're seeing is more and more of the rest of the management world for virtualization starting to focus on multi-hypervisors. And that includes Microsoft, it includes Citrix, and it includes, the other 100 startups that we see out there contributing management tools and solutions out in that space.
And it seems that a lot of IT folks that have already virtualized are also looking at using the technology to manage their desktops better. And it looks like in your report you're seeing that although desktop virtualization has been pretty slow to go mainstream, more people are starting to look at that now. And I'm curious, what has changed to make it more, interesting to IT folks?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, too. And one of the things that we've been seeing, we thought last year, really, we were going to start to see desktop take off. We've been talking about desktop virtualization for quite a while. We've had application virtualization on Citrix server-based computing for a long time. VMware certainly has been talking about VDI for a while. And when they first started talking about it, there was kind of a surge of interest, but there were some real issues in the early implementations of VDI, particularly around storage. What we saw is a lot of folks tried to do VDI, and instead of driving down the cost of storage, the total cost of ownership per desktop, it actually drove it up, and it was primarily because of the way storage was addressed. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing now is with the new VMware Vue, with Citrix Zen Desktop Provisioning Services, the storage issues around image management and deduplication have now been addressed. Mm-hmm. And so a lot more people are starting to say, well, maybe I'll take another look at desktop virtualization because those things have been fixed and now I can move forward. So storage was a big barrier. The other big barrier has been user experience. And so Citrix had recently announced some new technology to address the user experience, graphics and things like that over remote links. VMware now, for the first time, demoed their PC over IP protocol that they've licensed from Teradici, which gives a great end-user experience. So again, those two big players now have resolved a lot of the storage issues, a lot of the user experience issues. We think desktop is really poised now to take off. If you look at the numbers that we saw in our research, the number of people who have implemented desktop virtualization to date, if we look at that number and the number who are now planning over the next up to 24 months, twice the number of people are now planning versus those who have ever implemented desktop virtualization to date. Yeah. So we really think we're now at the inflection point, both in terms of interest and in terms of removing those technical barriers that were stopping people from really succeeding on a large scale.
And so, but there are also some technical barriers with virtualization for the people who are using it, and your study seems to address those. What were some of the top challenges that people are seeing with virtualization?
Well, when you look at the top pain points, we see some pretty consistent issues there. Not surprising, very consistent with what we've been seeing in talking with users over the past several years. Number one and number two, backup and storage. So real consistent with what we hear all the time from users is those are the pain points that they see initially in implementing virtualization. It's interesting when you look at two different questions. When you look at pain points versus looking at barriers to expansion, there's some overlap and there's some differences. So pain points, pretty clearly, backup and storage come out at the top. Then you get down to the next level and you start to see kind of the rest of the management issues. So we look at backup and storage as a storage management issue. Next on the list, then you start running into performance, difficulty predicting requirements and growth, networking challenges. So a lot of the other kinds of management issues, but performance being up there. When you look at barriers to expansion, the number one issue to barriers to expansion is very often that when they look at going to a next set of applications, the vendor doesn't support those applications in a virtual environment. So we're still bumping into that issue. The other issue we're bumping into still is budget. We're seeing that start to lighten up now. Once you get past those, then the next issues you see there, performance, capacity management. So what we see is that as the users who are pretty advanced, as most of the users were in this study, as they start to go to kind of phase two, the harder to virtualize set of applications, what they run into is that they need a next level of management tools to help them with performance management, ongoing capacity management, those kinds of things to really do a good job of moving forward and have a kind of a, you know, almost getting to a self-managing type of environment.
Well, great. Thank you so much for sharing the results with us and explaining some of them to us.
Yeah, actually, I did have one more question. Since we just got back from VMworld, Barb, I was wondering what your takeaways from this year's VMworld show were.
Sure. And I think, you know, it ties in very much with what we've just been talking about. What we saw as kind of the major themes at the show, there was a lot of focus on desktop, as we've just been talking about, a lot of buzz around desktop, both from VMware, from the vendors on the floor, and from users. So that was one theme. Management was certainly a theme, and that ties into kind of our whole study and everything that we've been talking about today. The third theme is sort of the emergence of cloud, and what we saw around cloud and what we've been seeing in talking with our clients and users out there is that there's a lot of confusion around cloud. There's a lot of skepticism from some folks. You get a very mixed reaction. People either are ready to jump on it, or they really think it's kind of the next new marketing buzzword. And, you know, there's a lot of folks that are walking around saying, yeah, everybody's taking their product, put the word cloud in it, really haven't done anything to it, just put the word in. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot of that reaction. What we find is that there's still a lot of confusion. People don't really know what it is. They don't understand the public cloud, private cloud concept. They don't really get it. And so we're spending a lot of our time now helping people to understand what it really means. And, you know, I was just talking a moment ago about this idea of a self-managing virtual environment. You can really take that concept, if you take the idea of having a self-managing environment and put the idea of self-service provisioning on top of it, that says that IT can create this self-managing environment, put a portal on, users can come to that portal and say, I need one of these, and the infrastructure will automatically follow the rules and create whatever it is that user needs. That's really the private cloud. It's a kind of a simple way of looking at it. And mm-hmm. so we're spending a lot of our time now helping people understand kind of the jump from the basic server consolidation environment to more advanced management to a self-managing environment that allows self-service provisioning. And that's really the beginning of cloud. Mm-hmm. And then there's the bridge from that, which some people will take and some people won't, to using the public cloud as well or instead of. So that was kind of interesting to us to hear VMware's new vision around that and a lot of the other talk around it. And we think we're going to be spending a lot more time helping people to understand that. I also wanted to say, so the key findings report is available on Search VMware. For folks that are looking for other information around this space, we also have a landscape report that users might be interested in. And what it does is it takes the prioritized features. So we talked to users and said, what are the things that are most important to you? What features are most important to you in all of these different management categories? We took those features that users prioritized, and then we mapped them out with a landscape of all the products that are available today in the marketplace that address those kinds of issues, and then a matrix, a checkbox that says who has these features and who doesn't. And that report is also available on our site, which is www.focusonsystems.com, and you can follow the links to where it says Get Research, and you'll see all of the different components within this research series, one of them being the survey. The key findings and then the complete findings are also available. And then this landscape report, which for users who are trying to address management issues, it's a great way to figure out, here's what my priorities are, here's the products I should be looking at.
Okay, well, great.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Barb. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you, guys. Good talking to you.
Yeah, it was great talking to you, too. And for our listeners, the Hypervisor Huddle is recorded every 2 weeks, so if you're following us on iTunes, you can make an automatic download with actually sister site search server virtualization.com's weekly record. I think it's called This Week in Virtualization, and that's more of kind of a weekly news roundup in the virtualization space. So, you know, put us on your iTunes list. It's a free download, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.